Hey, friend, welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sutherland, here today with another amazing guest. I'm just grateful for the high caliber guests we've been bringing to this show, and we're not letting you down again today with this amazing woman. Her name is Jeanne Humlor, and she is joining me as a business coach. She is specifically a coach for coaches and consultants. So if you are in that niche, stay tuned. And she also helps business, excuse me, hold on. She helps top CEOs as a private label advisor. But that's all great. And we want to hear more from you. But also, I want you guys to understand what the point of our conversation is today and why this is important for you listening in. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you're just kind of in that stuck in between where you're waiting for something? It just reminded me of the Dr. Seuss book and that place of waiting. Waiting for this to come and that to go and all those things. As you can tell, I have kids, so versed in Dr. Seuss. But the fact of the matter is that really does happen to us as entrepreneurs. Oftentimes we get stuck in this waiting game, waiting for the right timing, second guessing ourselves, hang up on doubt, all this stuff that goes on in between our ears. And Jean is bringing us a very important mindset hack that is going to help you break through that barrier. So stick around. And Jean, thank you so much for joining the show today. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to this show on whatever podcast player you prefer and follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Hey, it's Lindsay, and I want to pop in here because I know how overwhelming it can be to get started building an online business. I've even spoken with people who've paid thousands of dollars for help from people who are truly experts in this. And they're still feeling confused about what direction is right for them, or if their idea is even a good one. Listen, you don't have to guess or pray or hope or any of that. There is a way to test the market to ensure your idea is a good one so you can launch with confidence. And that's exactly what I show you in this simple 35-minute video training. I keep it simple because I know you already have so much swirling around in your brain. I'm not here to add more confusion because what you need right now is clarity. And that's what's in store for you in the short training called How to Tell If Your Idea Will Be Profitable. Access the video right now by texting the word freedom to 55444. Stop guessing and start taking strategic action. Text freedom to 55444. All right, back to the show.
It's a great pleasure to be here, Lindsay.
Wonderful. Well, please allow, just share us a little bit about your story. I mean, you have a really unique story I want the audience to hear.
Well, yeah. So there's many different parts of my story, but the story that's the current one that's relevant to why I'm getting on podcasts is I have been a solo parent, I like saying, for a while. And I've been coaching for 13 years, but I'd already been coaching for 8. But all the old strategies of networking and speaking and all of that really weren't creating critical mass. And I found myself 6 years ago. I was 54 then. I'm very open about my age. I'm 60 now. I was in deep debt, and I just thought, this is not working. I'm helping a lot of people make money, but not myself. What do I do? And I got online and I learned organic social media marketing, and I got to $1 million in 17 months at 92% profit. And we've helped hundreds of people. So that it's not to pitch what we're doing at all, by the way, but that happened because one morning I woke up and I was really feeling not very good about my life. I was thinking, wow, this, I'm failing. My daughters are going to notice that at some point, even though, we had a nice, I put everything on credit, but I just thought, this is not who I want to be. And why haven't I figured this out? And a voice in my head said, if not now, when? I thought, whoa, that's a good point. If not now, let's actually answer that question, Jeanne. If not now, when? Next year? Well, I might as well do it now. 2 years? Let's see. In 6 years? Oh, you're going to be 60 then, and you'll still have no money, and it's going to be worse. So you have to fix this now. Literally. So I got out of bed and I thought, I don't care how bad I'm feeling, and I don't care how depressed I am, because I was sort of had dysthymia because I wasn't in my real life. And I just thought, I got to fix this. I don't care how hard it is. I have to do this right now. I have to take some action right now, not when this or that, because things are not going to get better. And that was one of my turning points.
That's so powerful. I love those moments of that intensity. So what do you think? Like, what I was curious about listening to you, I thought, how did you know what to do? Like, did you have
Well,
that clarity?
I did not. Yes, I had clarity. I needed help. That was the clarity. The clarity is, I don't know this. I've got to get online, and I don't know about online. I know about offline. I was expert at offline networking, talks, all sorts of stuff, events, meeting people, more networking, chamber ambassador, more. It wasn't working because I had a classic offer that was not right for the community I lived in. That's a classic business problem that I know about. I thought, I got the classic business problem. These people aren't my people. They don't need or want me, or they don't know they need me. So I can't convince them, because you shouldn't have to convince people that they need you if they're not aware, you know? So, and it wasn't working. I thought, okay, not working. I really gave it a good go. I was a beast at networking. I was out there all the time. I wasn't sitting around. I was just really doing the utmost. And I remember thinking, if this didn't work for me, it's not going to work for anybody here. Okay, so, and I saw a lot of the people struggle. It was somewhere in the Midwest. Let's leave it at that. So I thought, I got to get online. I don't know about this, so I have to hire somebody immediately. So I did. I thought, I'm going to just, so I plonked down 10K on three different credit cards. And I bet. So I didn't sit around saying, oh, I have no money, I'm going to figure it out myself. That's not what I did. No, absolutely not. Because I knew that wasn't going to work, because I'm a coach and people would learn from me and they never would figure it out. So of course I hire coaches and consultants and mentors and all sorts of people and service providers. So I thought, I don't know this, so I've got to. So I got into this program. I knew it wasn't going to be great, but I thought they were going to teach me ads, because I thought that's all there was. I thought there's offline and there's ads. Ads are going to be, they're going to be a hustle. I knew that. That's going to be like, whoa, steep learning curve. And I knew it was going to, you need ad spend. Okay. Now, this was 6 years ago. Ads already were not working very well for coaches. They really don't work now. And the old pixel, and you have a huge budget and you're well known, or if you're running it to an event where then you pitch them, then they can work, but you still need a huge budget to do that. So there's various ways where ads still can work, okay, but they're not working like they used to. The book of call doesn't work. Okay, I go in and I'm sitting there thinking, this won't work for me. I can see that the people were struggling. I thought, this isn't going to work. I have no more budget. I don't want to then start piling more money on for something that's like a roulette wheel. Because you know, in business, when you know it's a roulette wheel and you're just like doubling up and betting. And I thought, I can't gamble like this. I can't do that. So I said to them, I said, I don't think this is going to work for me. And I said, oh, you're right. They won't work. And I said, but that's funny, because I just paid you 10K because this is what you say you're coaching on. And now you're telling me you're not going to work. Okay. All right. So I immediately think, how do I make lemonade out of lemons? That's how I go. That's what I think. I thought, okay, well, I'm in here. I'm going to make the best of it. So what can I do? They said, well, you could do organic. I said, is that like carrots? Because I didn't know what organic marketing was. I have a sense of humor, even under stress. And I said, what, you mean like carrots? And they said, no, Jean, not like carrots. I said, like what then? Like what? This is how hard it was to get coaching out of these people, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, terrible. So I said, okay, all right, what? Oh, I said, so where are the trainings? Oh, no, we don't have any trainings on that. I said, okay, no problem. Didn't miss a beat. I said, what do I do? How do I do this? I need some help. They just said, oh yeah, just go talk to people. That's the way they said it. Just go talk to people. They should have done this. They didn't do that, but it was like they were doing that. They said, just go talk to people. I said, that's your training? They said, yeah. It's basically you're just talking to people online and you're getting them as clients. I said, oh, okay, I'm gonna need more of a system. So I thought, I've got to figure this out. I just got to do this. So I didn't complain. I didn't go, oh my gosh, it's not 10K. I thought, no, you know, I have to figure this out because I have no way out. And they're not gonna, I'm gonna make that lemonade, because that's how I think. And I just went out and I started talking to people, and I had a good attitude about it. I thought, I'm just gonna talk to as many people as possible, figure this stuff out. I had 900 conversations in 8 weeks with people online. And I'd had 18 sales calls. And over that time, I was figuring out how to do this, because it was so much critical mass, because that's how you figure stuff out, is you test. So finally, on the 18th sales call, I got my client and I thought, that's it. It's coaches and consultants I need to help and certain service providers. And I just started getting a flood of, because I got it and I started getting a flood of clients. They said, how are you doing this with no ads, no funnels? We see you have very little marketing. You don't have branding photos. I'm telling you, you're telling us not to go to your website, because I was, it still had executive and business coaching on there. And I said, no, don't go to my website. Just we'll chat here. And they're like, oh, okay. And they said, I realized what you did. There was very little involved, very little. So I figured it out 5 months before COVID started. So that was providential. That was just, that was God, because I would have been in such deep trouble if I had not figured this out. I was already in debt. And then we would have had to go through COVID where I couldn't go out and network, which is how I was getting the couple of clients I got, the few I was getting. So at that point, COVID didn't hurt me because people really needed for me to help them build a business online. At. So it's been, 6 years of that, but that's how that happened. And things are never perfect. And people think, oh, I'm just going to pay that person and it's going to be like, chick, it's never. Except sometimes people work with us and they say it's magic, but that's my goal is to make it kind of like different, right? But generally, when you pay for service or coach or anything, you don't go in and they don't just like change your life. Okay, it's not like we should understand. Okay, it might not be magic, but I'm going to go in and I'm going to get whatever I can out of it. And that should be the attitude. It won't be perfect, that's for sure. Nothing, we're not perfect. Nothing's perfect. But what is the lemonade I can make today? And I think if you have that kind of a mindset, see, somebody else wouldn't have turned that around like me. They would have said, oh, you said you were going to teach me ads and you're not, and I'm mad at you, so I'm just going to stop doing it. Right? I said, oh my gosh, I got to make this work. What do I do? Does that make sense? So it's about that attitude.
Well, you were committed to your success. I mean, that's the number one thing I'm seeing listening to you. I'm thinking you didn't once say anything like, oh, maybe I'll just go back into the job market, or maybe I'll do
No.
this, or maybe I'll do that. You didn't waver in your determination to succeed somehow. It wasn't if you were going to succeed. It's just, what am I doing
How
differently
and
today?
when is this going to happen already? Because, that was painful for somebody like me. People that are in their hearts high achievers. I'm not like the most high achieving person. I know some high achievers and, they're just like from,
They're
five in the
ruthless.
morning. They're just like, they're doing marathons and I'm not that, but I am a high achiever, okay, in my soul, right? I'm a little more chill than some of the other high achievers. However, part of me, when I was waking up that morning, I thought, yeah, somewhere here, it was like, weren't you supposed to be like really successful multi-million dollar coach or million dollar coach? And I was like, yeah, I was not supposed to be. This is not my life. And I think when you are uncomfortable with the mediocrity that's happened or whatever, and you say, no, I don't settle for this because this is not even me. I couldn't recognize. I thought, this is not how I roll. How did this happen? Well, I created it, sure. There were certain circumstances at play as well. And I've got to fix it. And I have to not have a victim mentality because we all feel sorry for ourselves for a while. That's okay. Then you got to say, you know what? I take full responsibility for my results, for everything. Now, you said something really, I can't take credit for something you just said. You said you were really committed to your results. Actually, the real story was I had no choice. There's no way as a solo parent I could, be at a day job. Who's going to pick them up? How's that going to work? There's no bus. There's no school bus. So how I would never have my kids come home to an empty home anyway. And I was attachment parent. So I was also sticking to my style of parenting too. I was determined. I am not going to give up on how I want to be a parent. No. And in the end, I did it. It all worked out. It was harder because I wasn't willing to just shift my kids off here. And I was homeschooling for a lot of it too. And I thought, okay, that has to stop. That, you know,
Especially when COVID
you know, that actually, I got a holiday when COVID came. I was like, wow, I got a free pass here. I had zero mom guilt about driving them to all the sports and piano and choir and all this stuff that I was taking them to because I was determined that my children were not going to not do stuff because I'm a solo parent ever. So it was also keeping up a very high standard. Like, I thought, nope, I'm not going to say, oh, well, Jean, it's because of this. And to this day, I have zero regrets. I don't have any regrets, like, oh, you know, because most of my money was spent on my kids' activities and extracurricular learning. Thank goodness that I didn't skimp on that, because then I'd be here saying, well, I made money in the end. I should have just spent that, you know, because I paid off that debt. So,
There's something really powerful about your mindset that I see very clearly. This is why you've had success, is you don't settle for anything less than what you expect in your life. And
I don't.
that is such a that is a that truly, I think, is the heart of the whole what you represent in a way in this episode, because, and probably in life as a leader and to your as a mother, you know, just in every way. You remind me just a little bunny trail. My uncle Ray, he was in the military. He went to Emory Riddle. He was an aeronautical engineer and he served in the Air Force. And when he wanted to, there was a job opening at Boeing that he wanted, and he had 2 years left of aeronautical school. He went to the dean and he said, "Can I do 2 years in one? Because I need to get this to this job." And the dean said, "No, you know, this is something we don't let people do this. This is intense schooling as it is. And for somebody to do 2 years in one, plus he was a dad, he had a young child."
Oh, wow. That's burnout,
And
right?
well, he did it and he
Wow.
graduated and he went to Boeing. And he, when he told me that story, I learned something, and I see that in you, is this, like, here is the bar, and I will not settle for anything less. I think the biggest reason why we don't have things we want in our life is because we lower our expectations. We make it okay to drive a 20-year-old vehicle and just get by. You know, we were talking about cars earlier, right? Like, we make it okay to, well, tell our children, no, they can't do sports. It's okay. You know, whatever the case may be, we are the ones that are dictating that. But you, my new friend, did not. And I'm inspired by you. That's
Oh, thank
really,
you.
really powerful.
Also, I got to tell you something else that I'm pretty proud of, even though it was just the way things were. I never sat my kids in front of a television to get them babysat. Never. We didn't have a TV, actually. And I didn't want them to get addicted. And my friends would say, wouldn't it just be easier in your situation to stick them in front of the TV? I said, I will not do that. I do not, again, I won't lower my standards. I will not have a TV or a device babysitting my children. Like, you know, it would have been easier because all the fussing. They said, just buy them a, you know, get them, you know. I did have these kids' iPads for the games, but they weren't baby. That was not babysitting. That was for them to use, you know, what were they called? The leapfrogs or
Oh,
whatever.
yes, those were
But I
educational.
also limited the time they were on those, just games. But that was just a fun gift. That was never a babysitter. It was never, here's the, you know, when you see people in the prams, you know, the strollers, and they just have a device in front of them all the time because the moms don't want them fussing. I never did that, not once. So, and they were never babysat by the TV, that's for sure. I was just, nope, I'm here and I'm going to do what I have to do. And I'm not going to say, oh, just go sit in front of the TV while mommy works. So I didn't do that. I'm proud that I kept to that. And my kids don't have cell phones. My daughter now has a cell phone because she turned 18.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So they're like, all of our friends. I said, I just don't care what your friends have. That's not
Yes.
us, you know? So yeah, I am, you know, and I'm proud of that because my daughter told me 2 days ago, I think it was, she said, you know what, mom? She said, I see that a lot of people are very anxious. Now, I've struggled with anxiety as well. And she said, you know what? I don't feel anxious. I was like, hallelujah. I said, well, God bless you. Because, but you know, a lot of people who have been using social, a lot of these teen anxious. And I said, well, that's because you've not been on social media. And she said, she threw food for thought. So again, I was like, wow, I'm so happy. Because, you know, dealing with anxiety is not fun. She said, Mom, I don't feel anxious at all. I'm like, great. Awesome. Yeah. So that was like the best gift because I really want my kids to be mentally healthy rather than, you know, sure, get good grades if you want. You know, she does because my kids, I never, ever graded them when they were homeschooled because I didn't want them, you know, performing for grades. I wanted them to love learning. So when they did go to school, they were like, oh, we got a report card. I said, yeah, give it to me. And I said, And they were watching me, like, what's she going to say? And they're looking at me like, okay. And I went, good. You got, yeah, A. Oh, you got a C. Okay, great. Anyway, it looks like you did your best. Let's go have dinner. They were like, wow. They said, all of our parents, all of our friends' parents are like all mad at them if they don't. I said, you did your best. So I took away all pressure. My kid, straight A, A pluses all the way. Because I never, she said, you never ever forced us, pressured us about grades on purpose. It worked. It worked. It was of their own intrinsic motivation to get good grades, not to please me ever. I never came into that equation,
So
ever.
now in your coaching business, now you're helping coaches and consultants, and you mentioned to me earlier that you're seeing a, I guess we could call it a trend, a thing where people are waiting. We're waiting for this, we're waiting for that. What is like some of the excuse? I want to point out some of these, we'll call them excuses or mindset blocks that people are using. Because I think what happens sometimes is it's easy to put the finger, point the finger of blame outside of ourselves. And in our mind, just like I said, we lower our expectations, we justify it. We are so good at convincing ourselves of things, and that sometimes we can't even see what we're doing. So, what are some of these things that you might be seeing that might help people go, oh, yeah, maybe I am, waiting on that?
Look, there's just a universal disease called being over fearful. I say over fearful because we all have fear. We're human beings. It's normal. If we didn't have fear, we wouldn't look both sides before we cross a road. We wouldn't be careful about not burning ourselves because we're afraid of burning ourselves. We wouldn't say, hey, let's be safe here because I'm afraid of having an accident, you know? So it's an epidemic of, and I used to be so paralyzed by fear. I know that. I'm very familiar with fear and fear busting. And it is very uncomfortable and torture and really not fun to live your life in fear. Because it's just you're living in anxiety and fear. It is a complete life to live in anxiety and fear. You're better off just not having as much, but not being living in fear and anxiety because you'll just have a happier life, right? So people say they want to do, okay, there's two types of people, okay? In this way, there's a lot of different types, but in this way, there's people that say, oh my gosh, Jeanne or whatever, I want this. I want to get to $1 million. I want this. I really want it. Okay. And then when you dig in, they are not willing to do whatever it takes. And I don't mean there's three things: illegal, immoral, or unethical. Barring those three, if it's not illegal, unethical, or immoral, you should do whatever it takes to say, to do what you say you really want in life, or you just won't get it. You just won't. It's not going to happen by accident or luck or anything. All the people that say to me, oh, I was lucky. Those are the people that have worked so hard for their success, and they go, oh, I'm not smart. I'm just lucky. I'm like, no, you're not. Give me a break. You've been working nonstop, building that, exploring, testing, selling, and then you say that you're not smart. And I think that's so adorable, actually. One of my colleagues said, oh, yeah, I'm not smart. I'm like, you're a genius, And he's like, yeah, I was just lucky. Very humble and grateful. But, the guy's worked like a maniac, like, using his brains and figuring out tech stuff and like really smart, right? So I find that amazing that those people say, oh, I'm not smart, I'm lucky. But then the people that really aren't doing any work just want to be lucky, right? Now,
Interesting.
I would not say, literally, I would not say I've had any luck in my business at all. None. There's been no luck. It's been me figuring stuff out nonstop. And one of my coaches said once, he goes, oh, I'm the same as you. He goes, I've had no luck. I said, no, you did have luck. You were written up by Forbes and that brought a flood of clients. He goes, oh, forgot about that. I said, I never had anything like that. He said, I'm the person that has to work so hard. And I know why, because I am the guide and I am the person that's here to figure stuff out for other people. And I know that's my role now. I figured that out. Okay. That's my role. I'm here to do all of that testing and pain. So then I can say, here it is on a silver platter, client. You don't have to do all that work. I know that's my role. I figured that out finally. I'm not frustrated about it. I just embrace it and I say, yeah, I'm going to keep testing stuff. I spent a lot of money testing stuff. So I can say to my clients, hey, I tested this. Guess what? It works. Just do it. And they're like, great. Don't have to spend years and money and energy, but that's my business. Okay. So the first part per type of person, to get back to it, I digressed, is. I really want this. I want to be a $1 million coach. I want to be a $1 million business, blah, blah, blah. I want all this. I want life balance, make money, investments. I want all that and the Lambo. That's what I want. Great. I love it. I love it. You want to be great. Let's help you. Oh, but yeah, no, I can't do that. Oh, and no, and I don't want to invest. And oh, I don't want to do that. And I can't do that. And so I can't, or I won't, or I don't want to. And I'm just sitting there thinking, how did you think that was going to happen? Because I certainly didn't get it by luck. I just told you that. It didn't fall on my head. It was a lot of work and a lot of pain. Whew. So then, and luckily now we've helped people not go through all that. We shortcut it. So, but I'm thinking, you got to do the work and got to invest at least. Oh, so then I say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how committed are you to getting what you just spent an hour telling me all this? They love talking about it. I love it. I want to do that. Yes, juicy. Oh, I'm at a 5. So you're neutral. 5 is neutral. Did you know that on a scale, that 5's neutral, 10's not, and 0's 0. 5 is actually a neutral emotion. Okay, it's not wanting something. I said, so you kind of don't care? And one person actually said, yeah, if I got to 1 million, I'd take it. And I said, well, don't worry because you won't get to 1 million because it won't just happen like that. All right, then I don't care. I don't want to invest. And I thought, whoa. Okay, then there's the other type of people that say they want something and they'll do whatever it takes. There's two types. Okay, now the people that love talking about it all because they just love talking about stuff, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to and when and when. Well, those people should have some self-reflection and ask themselves, am I actually going to do what it takes to get where I say I want? I want, it's easy to say you want stuff, right? Really easy. I want that. I want that. Okay. If you're not going to do it, just be real. Nobody's judging you. And just say, you know what? Maybe I'm not the entrepreneur type. Maybe I don't want to spend any money. Maybe I'd rather just play it safe. Maybe I'd rather just have a job. Maybe I want a paycheck, even though I like complaining about it all the time because I hate my job. Maybe I just want to complain about it for the rest of my life, even though I hate my job. Maybe I want to just have my weekends where I just chill and I sit in front of the TV and take my kids somewhere or to a movie. You can do all that, but I'm just saying, and let it go and just release and just say, you know what? That is what is. And I think the key point here is to accept what is. It's not bad, it's not good. It just is. And let yourself off the hook because then you're in between. It's in purgatory. You got 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And the worst place to be is in an unclear situation in any part of your life. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, and it also breeds guilt, that feeling of I
Yeah.
should be doing more and all those things, which just further keeps you stuck. And you said something too, I think it was in your bio perhaps, was about it just got me thinking as you were talking about the feeling that people have that they're missing some information. Like maybe what's keeping them stuck is that they think that they don't, like you said, I need to get online. You knew I'm missing this. I need to go in this direction. You had that burst of clarity. But I also know there's a lot of people out there who are doing all the things, right? They're working their booties off, doing this strategy and that strategy and that strategy, and they're not committed to following through, maybe, or they
Focus.
try it and they fail, all of those things. And so their mindset says, I just don't know what I need. I feel like I've tried everything and I'm missing, I don't know what I'm doing. What do I need to be doing? What was interesting to me about your story is that, in a way, I'm going to use the word luck because you were a little bit lucky in that clarity, you got the clarity. I think a lot of people miss that. Like they don't have that burst of clarity. And then you took the action. You just took faithful action. There was no doubt. There was no second guessing. You were like, this is what I need to do. Somehow I'm going to figure it out. And even though those people took your money and that didn't work out, you kept pursuing that same drive that you were given. Whereas I think other people would have quit. They would have said, oh, well, I made a mistake. And they start doing that, like, oh, what did I do wrong? Maybe it's something else. And they get burnt out. So it's interesting because I know I've seen that. I've seen people who are like working their hardest to get something, but they lack that clarity and that knowing of what to do. And then they start doing that thing where we look inward and say, it's because of me. I'm not full. What was cool about what you did is you leveraged what you know. Even though you didn't know online, you knew networking. So you took your networking skills online. And
Yes,
it was
exactly.
like
You
the same thing.
actually got it. You actually are one of the few people that's actually got that. I figured out, and it had to be different, but I thought I'm really good at talking to people. I'm going to do that online. That's exactly my, yeah, you got it. That's exactly, but it has to change. So some people go, well, it didn't work for me. Now, I have to say something. I didn't lose doing that program because I met a lot of great people. It got me online, and I was grateful. I was actually grateful to them. They did what they could do, okay, and it got me online. So I actually give credit that I did that because it got me in the right place. It's not all or nothing in life. I see it that, okay, I hired them to get me. That's what their goal, the role, that was what their role was in the infinite plan was got me online. Thank you. Why would I be resentful? Because in the end, they were instrumental in pushing me to be to figure this out. So I'm full of gratitude that it wasn't what it was. Great. It was even better because it just worked. I think if you look for the gratitude in it, like I don't mean like, oh, I'm so grateful. I mean, look for the infinite plan because not everything is great. But I always say, even when I lose, I win. That's my motto. So sometimes when things aren't going right, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, Sean. Let's see how the arc of the story ends. Because, if you're in mid-arc, it looks bad, maybe. But then when you get to the very end of the arc, boom, that was the reason that happened. That makes sense. And sometimes it's like years of not, like, why is this happening? And like in the end, that's why that happened. So I think that this idea, and I actually say to myself when things aren't going well, I go, stop, suspend. Even when I lose, I win. Let's just see what's going on here.
I like that. The let's
Let's
just
just
be.
see. Now, have I lost? Of course, I've lost. I lose in investing, but an investor loses, right? So if you take it like, oh my goodness, I lost some money. When people say that, I go, yeah, Oh, I lost. Like, yeah. And they look at me like, oh, what? Well, of course you're going to lose. Not every decision is going to be right. When you are practical, that investors consider. That if three investments out of seven are winners, they think they're rock stars. Okay. But they go, oh my goodness, Sean, I hired this coach and it wasn't right and I lost. I go, I go, yeah, that happened to me many times. I get it. That happens. Oh, because they're victimizing themselves because they made one bad business choice. Well, welcome to the club. That's called testing. So when you reframe all these calamities and reframe them as normal business as usual, it flips the script because people are just like doing a one they're one thing. I hired this person and they weren't good. And I'm sorry to hear that. And maybe you'll hire me and I'll be good and then it'll be all even out, or
I mean, life is meant to be lived and it doesn't always, it's not always full of roses and puppies. There's sometimes we're sad, there's sometimes we're angry, there's bad things that happen, and it's part of life. And it is the same in business. You know, there's ups and there's downs, and there's the thing of it, I think it is too many entrepreneurs, they take their business so personally, like it's an extension of themselves, so that when something goes bad, it's like their identity, you know, has been changed. And that's the hang up. If they always try to think, I know this is crazy, I'm not trying to be political, but I thought this before he was president, about like Donald Trump, right? He was a successful businessman, but some would argue, well, he lost a lot of money or he
He
had
did.
businesses that collapsed. And I'm like, yeah, because he knew when to shut them down. Like, right? He knew what the right thing to do was. And he's had a lot of success, but he doesn't look at his businesses as an extension of himself. He looks at them as an entity. And if we can
But
just miss,
they should be an entity,
yeah,
exactly.
that's exactly the whole point of the LLC and the whole structure and the thing.
Right.
That's the thing. If we can just like separate ourselves from the business instead of feeling like everything we do or don't do or every good thing or bad thing is personal. We'll be a lot better and we'll be able to be clearer in our judgment because, you know, we're not coming from a
Well,
place of emotion.
that's about life. If we could take nothing personally ever, which none of us can do, I'm trying. You know the Four Agreements book? Like literally, it's so simple. If we could merely merely, I'm laughing sometimes when I think about it. If human beings could merely muster the self-control and the mastery to follow the four, just four things, your life would be completely transformed. If that's how simple it is to transform a life, is four rules: never make assumptions, always do your best, watch what you say. And what's the other one?
Doesn't it have to do with meaning?
No, there was one. Okay, one is always do your best, never make assumptions. And then it's about like your words. Always watch what your
Oh,
words.
impeccable with your word, yes.
Yes. What was
Yeah,
the fourth one?
gosh, let me Google it.
Clearly,
It's
I'm
been
not
a minute
doing the
since
fourth if
I
I
looked
can't
it up.
remember it.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, like, because I've read a lot of mindset, there's so much you
I
could be doing.
know. I
The
should read
fact that
it again.
even these four tiny ones of never making, because we make assumptions and tell stories, right? We are not impeccable with our word, and that creates a lot of damage in the world. We don't always do our best, right? If you
Right.
just did your best at all times and you were really careful what you say about others and whatever, and not lie, right? Because that's about lying. And and what was the other one? And
Do
don't
not take
assume people
anything
are
personally.
take don't take any, that was the taking things
That
personally,
that's the
right?
one. Isn't it funny? I
Right.
always think the one I'm forgetting is the one I need to pay
We
more
were
attention
just talking
to.
about that a
I
second ago.
know.
But the point is, how hard is that though? If you really write those rules, you think, okay, because we're human. Oh, and you're all affronted and you're, wait a minute. If you didn't take it personally, you would rarely be upset. You would never be insulted. You would never be in a bad mood of grumpiness because, oh, that person insulted me. If you didn't make assumptions about what people are saying about you or doing, it's like, no, I'm just going to look at the data. You're clear-headed, right? I mean, so simple yet so hard, right? So
True.
when we come up with a simple like concept like I have, which is just do it now. Oh my goodness, there's so much, a bundle of problems that come with that. Fear, and I'm not good enough, and I really want to do this, but I want to talk about it for 4 years and bore everybody inside about my, the other thing is when people don't take action, it affects everybody because then everybody has to listen about what you're gonna do over and over. I'm gonna do this. Really? It's boring for everybody. If you have a spouse, it's even worse. Just do it already or just be quiet about it, right?
Yes, I'm with you on that.
Just do it.
That's funny you said that. Well, one of the things that I think is really important for us to end on, because I have another episode to record in like 10 minutes. It was a back-to-back day today. It was pretty impressive how many people are jumping on my calendar. But I wanted to recap what you were talking about there with just jumping in and diving in head first and saying yes, like just let's go. What do you, how would you, or do you have a tool that people who maybe are lacking the clarity, like a way
Yes.
they can talk themselves through how to get that clarity?
For sure. It's so simple. Things are simple. We try to make things simple and not create, people create all sorts of stuff for, they create systems so they can brand it and name it. Okay. These frameworks and formulas. Basically, my talent, I've been told, is to simplify stuff because I'm dumb. Okay. And other people think they're dumb too. They're probably smarter than me. But the point is, human beings just want simple instructions, not, oh, another whole framework. So it's so simple. A piece of paper. Everybody has one. A pen. Go buy one or get one free from the bank. Okay. Because they're
Ha
all giving out free pens. I don't think I ever buy pens anymore. I like the bank pens. But anyway. So I told my daughter, I actually prefer these pens from the ones we buy. You get a piece of paper. You get a ruler because it's nice to be neat and rule. Okay. And you get tube. And you say, okay, what don't I want? What do I want? Get clear on what you want and you don't want first. I don't want my job anymore. Oh, that's enlightening. I don't want this. Da, da, da. What do I want? I want this and this and this. And then go to your want list and really, take your time with it. Don't just say what people think you should want. Then ask yourself, A, how much do I want it? A, do I want it enough that I'll actually go invest? Do I really want it, or is it just a whim? If not, take it off, scratch it off. If you're not going to really scratch all the wants off that you're never going to do anything to get, it's just like it's fairy dust. See what you have left, and then figure out who do I need to get help from? Because it's always a who. It's not a how do I go figure it out myself. That's broken. Okay. Because when you say, oh, I'm just going to figure it out all myself, how are you going to instill knowledge that is not there? It's like saying, when people say it's all within you, I want to just like, are you kidding me? If everything were within each human being, why do we have law school and medical school? We should just go to any, I should just go to Lindsay Sutherland and say, hey, Lindsay, can you just operate on my heart because it's all within you? We don't need to study that stuff. Well, do you see how ridiculous it is when I put
Yes,
it that way?
I like
Yeah.
it.
I don't know why people don't come up with that. I'm like, well, they keep spouting such nonsense that it's, you don't need coaching. It's all within you. Really? No, it's not. That's complete rubbish. So
Yes.
figure out who. Who's the who? You know, there's a book called The Who, Not How, right? Who's that person that knows more than you about this, that you can shortcut all that? Because in the end, what you really want to do is collapse time.
Yes.
Why? Time is the one thing you cannot get more of. It's true. You can't buy more time. I'm buying time. You're not buying time at all. You're buying nothing. Money comes and goes. You can make a million, you can lose a million. You can't make another 5 months of your life appear out of the blue. And the older you get, you realize your goal really is to save time, collapse, get people to do stuff. So you have gold, which is time. So why would you sit around dishonoring your own life by trying to figure something out that you're probably never going to figure out, or it'll take you 10 years and you could have just paid somebody and said, I will pay so much money just to get the missing link. You know, like if there's something I don't know, I'll be like, sure, you know that? Great. Here's a ton of money. Just give me the answer. Great. Now
Right.
I have it, and I've just saved so much time and also energy and stress of not knowing where, what's going on. Do you know what I mean? I will pay so much for services that are going to save me time and money. Like I don't mess around. Like I always try to find like the best accountant who's a tax strategist, and you're really expensive. That's fine. I know in the end, I don't pinch pennies on those things
Yeah.
because this is not worth it, right?
No,
Because in
it's
the
not.
end, the
They
false
save you
economy is,
money. They make
right?
they pay the for themselves. That's the word.
If they're good, but the thing is, a lot of them aren't good. So then, you know, there's the whole evaluation. Have I made big mistakes in my business? For sure. Because, you know, when people lie to you and say they're the best and they're so great, and then you're like, oh my gosh, this was terrible service. You can't know that. You just have to say, okay, I made a bad decision. I take full responsibility. What do I do to fix it? I've got to get up again, and I've got to start interviewing people again, and I've got to keep going. It's like dating. Did you marry the first person you dated?
No.
Are you married?
Yes.
Okay. It's a process, right? And you don't go, oh my gosh, I went on a date and it didn't work out. I'm never going to date again. You say, okay, I went on a date and that didn't work out. Now I'm going to make another date with somebody else and I'm going to keep going. It's dating. It's dating your accountant. Okay, that accountant wasn't good. I'm in this process right now. It's one accountant after another is bad for one reason or another, you know.
Yeah.
Back on track. I'm like, okay, now I'm meeting with another person. It's a lot of work. But in the end, I know I have to get a really good tax strategist slash accountant, or I'm going to lose a ton of money over my lifetime.
Yeah.
So I'm all in. And is it painful explaining the same things over and over? Yes, it is. It's very boring, actually. But really, it is, right? And
Understand that. Yeah.
terrible,
Yeah.
right?
You're like,
So,
can you just do like a math? You know, my husband, he's a real estate investor. And what he would do when he was renting out a house is he would just tell everybody to show up at the same time.
Yeah, just you like it or not. Yeah.
Because then all of a sudden they were like competing for the house.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
It's
there's
easier.
oh, first one to put a deposit gets it.
Exactly. You just, you
Rather
know,
than
shortcut
there
that,
you go, get
right?
all the accounts together at once.
Well, it's a, you know, and you know, there's a problem. There is a problem generally with people that are service providers not doing a good job. And I don't know, it's not just me. I feel like there's just a trend of low quality and not caring and taking the money. And it's just been this, that's a pandemic of bad service. And I don't understand because there's a lot of competition. I'm like, wow, all you need to do is just do a good job and you're a rock star these days. Just merely just do what you said you were going to do. Merely
I think
like,
it goes back to that social media conversation and that attention span, you know, the anxiety thing. I think it comes down to there's this like culture where we're starting to believe that everything should just be flippant. You know, it's easy. Well, AI can do that, or AI can do this, or oh, social media shouldn't take you 8 hours to to plan your content for the whole month, it should only take you, 15. If you're spending more than this much time, then you're doing something wrong. And there's this just general culture of everything should just be easy and we should just have a lot of money. It's like this. I see that a lot actually in my kids. I have two
Right,
little
right. And you should
teenagers.
just, yeah. Do you know that they did tests, your poll, and the majority of young adults and teenagers want to be social media influencers?
Yes, I believe it. Or YouTubers. That was always.
Right, yeah, but still social media,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
That's what they want to be.
Yep.
No, but
Let me
that's
put my
something that
life on stage and get paid for it.
But they think they're all making all this money and that, they're all making so much money. No, but I was talking more about professional services. I feel like maybe they're just so completely overwhelmed. I don't know. I don't care. When you pay somebody, they should say, "Hey, I can't take you because I'm completely overwhelmed." Not, "Sure, I'll take your money and then do a bad job." So it's kind of an epidemic now. And it's digital marketers. It's everybody. I think basically they need to live, so they got to take the money, and they don't know how they're going to really service you well, but they're going to say yes anyway, right?
Interesting.
So yeah, a lot of coaches do that. Let's be real. I mean, let's throw some light on that. A lot of coaches promise all sorts of stuff. And I've heard so many complaints, like a lot of people that have come to me on sales calls or whatever. They're like, "Jeanne, I just don't even know if I'm ever going to meet a coach that's actually not going to lie to me. It's terrible. They're just taking the money and then they just ignore their clients. How could you ignore a client?" I find that bizarre to
I have
say.
a hard time finding coaches that I don't end up coaching.
It's hilarious.
Well, Jean, can you tell people where to f connect with you? Where's the best place to connect with you?
Sure. You know, if you just want to message me, LinkedIn's probably the best. That's where, I probably see it easier. Or there's also my website, which is, jeanneaumlore.com. And we got /reviews if you want to see a bunch of reviews. And yeah, that's probably the two easiest places.
Perfect. And of course, folks, those links will be in the show notes. So be, feel free to scroll down there and just click the button instead of having to remember, because her name is spelled not like you might think. It's Jeanne, like Jean, Jeanne, and Omler is Omler.
Oh no, OOR. So it's JEANNE OMLOR.
Thank you. I thought I wrote the O and I thought that was my phonetic way, so I spelt said it correctly. Okay, thank you for correcting me. It's been a treasure having you here. You're an amazing soul. I'm grateful for your contribution to this show. You are making a difference every time you speak, and the world is a better place because of you. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. This has been fun.